Begin the current daf, Mesechtas Kitin daf test, begin on the bottom of the Chesma Beis, four lines up in the bottom of the Yamed. The Gemara continues the discussion with the previous daf. That is, the Gemara introduced a braisa that compared the halachas of Eved bringing his get shechar from Medin Zayam to the halacha that we open up this Mesechta with the halacha that a woman, where, as Mishnah later on will tell us, that the same thing applies to not just any shlech, but even if the woman brings her own get, she also has to say b'fanenachta. So the braisa said, if let's say the master, when he emancipates his slave, he sends him a document that says, Atzmecha, v'nuchsai kenuyin lach, that you are acquired to yourself, and my assets are acquired to you. So regarding the concept of himself, which has its own statement, he's believed with b'fanenachtem, as we see such a precedent regarding the halachas of Gittin. However, in regards to the other nechasim, there he's not believed because regarding that, it's like Kimshtar Siyama, the Baldover himself, the one who's trying to collect, is not believed to say that it's a valid document. He has to have two witnesses to verify it, and for that, b'fanenachtem would not work. Now, on that, the question was, what is if, let's say, instead of writing two different statements of Atzmacha v'nuchsai, rather he writes one general statement of Kol Nuchsai Kenuyin Lach, what would the halacha be over there? So Abaya, with the two polar approaches he took, seemed to say that there it's indivisible. In other words, if you're going to believe him regarding himself, then you should automatically believe him regarding the other properties too, because the reason why he's being emancipated is because of the words Kol Nechsai. So that includes everything in that statement. You can't pick and choose. Or if you're not going to believe him regarding the other properties because of Kim Shtar's Diyama that needs two witnesses, then you won't believe him regarding himself. On that, Rava disagreed, and he said that no. Regarding himself, he's believed, and regarding the other assets, he's not believed. And therefore, although it's one statement of Kol Nechsai, he will be freed, but he won't get the other properties. And that is where Gemara continues and says, Amalei Rav Adah bar Masna l'Rava. So Rav Adah bar Masna asked on Rava. He says, come on, who are you going like when you're giving your opinion by Kol Nechsai, although it's one statement, that it only works for himself to be emancipated, but it doesn't work for the master's assets that he's giving over to him? Must be Reb Shimon. You're going like the opinion of Reb Shimon. Dama Pagini Dibur, that he says that you could split a statement and you could use it for what you think it should work, and what it shouldn't work does not like within the Mishnah Masechtas Peah. The Mishnah says, HaKosev Kol Nechasev La'avdoi, and this is what we referenced on the previous daf, if someone writes all his assets to his slave, for example, like the statement we were discussing in the Machlik Zabayin Rabbah, he says, Kol Nechsai Nesu'en Lach, all my assets are given to you. So then the halacha is, Yatzeh Ben Chayrin. So he goes out free, because he's also included in, quote, Nechasim. He was in one of the properties of his master. And now he goes ahead and acquires all the properties from his master. He gave it all to the servant, so he goes out free. But, says the Tanna Kamma, which the Gemara later on will explain, that's Reb Meir, Shayer Karka Kol Shehu. If let's say he said, I'm giving you everything I own besides one piece of land, even a small piece of land, which Rashi brings from the Gemara Baba Basra, Naf Kuf Noma Amanav, it's not necessarily land, it's anything, any part of the master's ownership. If he leaves out something, then says Reb Meir lo yotze ben chayrin, then he doesn't go out free. Now, the understanding is that regarding the reisha, the halacha is where when he just said kol nechsai kenuyin lach, where he didn't say that he's leaving anything over, so then we don't say he left anything out, and therefore everything he's giving to his servant, including the servant himself, so he goes free and he gets everything. But Reb Meir says, here where the word that's used is, he's nachas l'shiyura, he's not giving everything to his servant. He's leaving over at least something. So then Reb Meir holds that he's actually leaving out the servant himself. And although he told him, kol nechsai nesu'en lach, I'm giving you everything, it was on everything else besides the servant himself. Now, what does that mean? If he's not giving the servant himself, so then he's still a slave, and whatever slave gets goes to his master, that means he hasn't gotten anything. You're right. He was what the master was doing, what's called chanufa. He was just flattering him, saying, I love you so much, I'm giving you everything but besides you. And he didn't even emancipate him. Now, the proof of this, Reb Meir holds, is because if he really meant to emancipate the slave, he should have said, Atzmecha v'nuchsai. You, he should have mentioned them individually, and my assets, I'm giving it all to you, except for something, a small piece of land, or a certain something. But since he didn't specify also the slave, rather you see he was cutting out some things, even though he specified like a karka kalshu, or whatever it is that he's leaving over, once we see that he's leaving out, he actually means to leave out entirely the slave, and therefore the slave is actually not even emancipated. Reb Shimon Naimi, he disagrees. As we continue on top of Tesamin Aleph, he says, no, la'olam hu ben chayr. No, of course the slave goes free, because whatever the master revealed that he wants to hold on to, he's holding on to that. Whatever this karka culture it is that he said he's not going to give, he says, I'm giving you everything besides some little thing. So that little thing won't go to the slave. But whatever he didn't say he's not giving, he's giving. So that would include all other properties, including the slave himself. Ads, Reb Shimon says, when would I agree to you, Reb Meir, that he wouldn't go free? That's only Shayyimr kol nechsai nesun leploini avdi. That's only if the master would say that all my properties are going to that slave. Chutz mi echad mi ribu sheben. But what am I not giving him? 1/10,000th of what is in my property. But the significant fact over here, what Reb Shimon is saying, is that he doesn't say what that 1/10,000th is. He's saying, besides one small little thing, since he doesn't say what he's leaving over, that is where Reb Shimon says we would say that, you know who's the 1/10,000th that he's referring to? He's referring to the slave. And that's because he's saying that he doesn't consider him as significant, but as much as only 1/10,000th of whatever his property is, even though he's really worth more than that. So that's where Reb Shimon would agree that the slave wouldn't go free. But from the fact that Reb Shimon says that the slave is going to be free, not like Reb Meir said in the general case of when he says that I'm giving you all my assets except for this one little piece of land or whatever it is that he's delineating, if he doesn't say in an ambiguous statement, but he says specifically what he's leaving over. So then that's what the questioner of Ad Barhava is asking, is that we see that what Reb Shimon is basically telling us, that it doesn't make a difference even if when he's going free, if he's taking any other properties with him, any other of the master's assets. For example, if let's say what the master was leaving over, he said, chutz mikarka plan. He says, look, I'll give you everything. I love you. I don't need money anymore. I'm old. Besides that one little piece of land, where now the servant, according to Reb Shimon, is going free, and he's taking all the other properties of the master besides what the master left over himself. That's one type of a case. But additionally, what's inherent in what Reb Shimon is saying is that it doesn't make a difference even if the slave is going to be going out without any other assets. What would that case be talking about? For example, when he doesn't say which little land he wants to leave over for himself. Let's say the master says, I'm giving you all my properties except for base korkarka, for a certain small area of land, where now actually the slave is not going to be taking any karka, because every little piece of land, you could say, maybe that's that base core karka that the master said he's going to leave over for himself. Now, in spite of the fact that the slave is free because he's not land, and Reb Shimon, where he disagrees on Reb Meir the Tanakhama, is that whatever wasn't specifically left out, we don't say, oh, that was, therefore that's alluding to the fact that he's leaving over the slave. No, he didn't. He only left over land, didn't say which land, but he's only being over land, but the slave was not included in what he's being left out, and that the slave does get himself. So says Rav Ad Bahava, so we see Reb Shimon holds Palgin in Dibure. Why? Because what were the words used to free the slave? He said, Kol Nichsai, all my assets are given to you. Now ultimately, what's he walking away with? He's only walking away with himself. Because since the master said, except for a little piece of land, but everything else is given to him, but ultimately he can't, because there's no way to prove that clearly that which piece of land is not that one piece of land that he's holding on to. So therefore you see that although kol nichsai includes everything besides one little piece of land, he's actually not getting any land, and the only thing he's walking away with is himself. Now that must be based on the principle of pagin deburi, that even though we're not believing him on, let's say, the land, but we will believe him, it will work for himself. So that says Rav Ad Barhava to Ravo, so you too, you that you said in regards to the context, which is in a different context, not regarding when something is being left over, but regarding when the slave himself is bringing his shtar shichur, which also includes being gifted all these other assets of the master, where we're saying that Rava says that he's only believed regarding himself, because of befani nechtem, but he's not believed regarding the assets, which that's like kim shtar se'alma, which you need to have two witnesses for, you obviously are saying, like Reb Shimon, that you could have one statement, kol nichsai, that includes everything, but at the end, it's being split. It only is working for certain things and not for other things. So on that is what Rav Ad Barhava asked. Now that's difficult, because Va'amar Rav Yisi Baman Yumi, Amar Rav Nachman, it was said in the name of Rav Nachman, that Afa Peshekilis Rav Yisi is Rav Shimon, that even though Rav Yisi praised this opinion that we just quoted of Rav Shimon, which is this halacha pagin deburei, in spite of that, Rav Nachman tells us halacha k'Rav Meir, halacha follows like the Tanakama, which is Rav Meir that says that actually the slave does not go out free, not agreeable to what Rav Shimon says. where the time, like we learn the Braisa, this idea that Rabbi Yossi praises the opinion of Rabbi Shimon, that it says, Kishen Nemru Devarim Lefnei Rabbi Yossi, when this opinion that we just cited of Rabbi Shimon was sent in front of Rabbi Yossi, Karol Lav HaMikra Azeh, he recited this pasuk of Mishlei, that he said, Svasayim Yishak, that the lips kiss. In other words, it's fit to kiss, Meshiv Devarim Nechayichim, he who responds with such appropriate types of words. Now, so although Rabbi Yossi praised it, but Rav Nachman said the tradition is that the halacha is not like Rabbi Shimon, but rather like Rabbi Meir. So asks Rav Ada Bar Hava, your whole position, Rav, is based on the principle of Pagin Dibure, and we see that we don't paskin, we don't say the law is like Pagin Dibure, because actually the halacha is like Rabbi Meir, not like Rabbi Shimon. And therefore, how can you go ahead and say your halacha based on Rabbi Shimon? So on that, the Gemara answers by way of questioning and saying, Umi Omer Rav Nachman Hachi? Did really Rav Nachman say what you, Rav Ada Bar Hava, are extrapolating, that by him paskin the halacha like Rabbi Meir, not like Rabbi Shimon, because we don't say Pagini Dibur like Rabbi Shimon's opinion is based on? But V'amar Rabbi Yossi Baman Yumi Omer Rav Nachman, Rav Nachman himself said the following halacha. Shchiv Mera is a person on his deathbed. Shekosav kol nechasav la'abdi, that he writes all his assets to his slave. So this was a real, what's called getraya knecht. He was a really good servant, a slave. He gives everything over to him. He's passing on, he's going to give it to his slave. V'amad, but then he stands up, he doesn't end up dying. So the halacha is as follows. Says Rav Nachman, Chayzeh ben Chasim, he retracts, he gets back his assets that he written over to his slave, but he doesn't get back his slave is already free. As the Gemara explains why. Chayzeh ben Chasim, he gets his assets back, because matna shchiv meruhu. This is what's called the gift of a person on his deathbed, with Allah is, as it tells us in Baba Basa, kof mem vav mabez, that he gets all his gifts back, because it was only based on the premise that he was going to pass away. But he does not get the slave back. Because from the moment that he gifted everything to the slave, including the slave himself, he already had the status of a free person. And now, although retroactively that is undone by when the person doesn't die, but it's already too late because he's already a free person, and therefore it's forbidden to now enslave him and put him back into servitude. That's the halacha of Rav Nachman. But one thing, says the Gemara, what are you asking, Rav Ada Bar Hava? From Rav Nachman's halacha that we don't paskin like Rav Shimon must be, we don't say Pagin Diburi. This halacha itself, Rav Nachman saying, is a Pagin Diburi halacha, where he wrote all his nechazim to his slave, and what's it working at the end? It's working only for the slave himself, but not working for the person's assets. So we see that we do say Pagin Diburi, even according to Rav Nachman. So Ella Amar Rav Ashi, rather Rav Ashi says, in way of answering this contradiction, and thus resolving the difficulty Rav Ada Bar Hava had on Rava, and that is, no. Hasam over there, what Rav Ada Bar Hava had asked from, where Rav Nachman said the halacha is like Rav Meir, is not because we don't say Pagini Dibure. Because the reason is, in that halacha, where the master said, I want to give you everything that I own, except for that piece of land, there, where we're saying the halacha is like Rav Meir, that's not based on the principle of not saying Pagini Dibure, because that's not relative to Pagin Dibure. Because this that Rav Meir is saying it doesn't go free, that's exactly keeping the words as they fit. Meaning it's not based on that one sentence, one statement is being now split, or saying that doesn't work. Meaning Rav Shimon would say that we do split. Rav Meir that says the halacha that, oh, the slave doesn't go free, it's not because that, oh, because we can't split statements. There's no splitting of statements in Rav Meir's halacha. Remeir's halacha was, as we mentioned before, where he says, I'm giving you everything besides this piece of land. So he specifies. And therefore, if the slave were not to go free, it wouldn't be because the statement doesn't work out, because the statement actually would work out. It wasn't ambiguous in one statement. It's the other statement that prevents him. Rather, as the Gemara explains, Hasamayinu taimim mishum delav kreis gituhu. The reason why Rav Nachman's passing like Rav Meir and the halacha of Rav Meir is predicated, and not because we don't say Pagin Dibure, but rather because it's not a totally separation inherent in this divorce document. Now, that is because by a woman, when there's a divorce of a woman, the Torah says in Dvarim Chav Dalet, there has to be a Sefer Krisis, a parchment, a book of separation. That's what the get is. Now, the halacha of Shechru Avadim, of emancipation of slaves, is learned out of Gezer Shava, where it says the word La by woman and law by the Eved, where it says Chuv Shaloi Nitan Law, which is regards to the maidservant, that it wasn't given to her this freedom. Now, and it says V'chasav Law. So we learn out that just like by get nashim, it needs creases, it needs total separation, severance, to be considered get. So too, by shechru avadim. Now, the halacha of Meir is based on that, since you could say that since he left over something, whatever it is, he's picked out a piece of land. So the principle Rami was working was with, he's nochas l'shiyura. He's amenable to not giving everything to his slave. Now, that is that where he, whatever he, that he didn't mention in the gift that he's giving to the slave, he didn't say that he's giving the slave to himself. Where, had he really wanted to give the slave to himself, he would have said, "Atzmacha v'nichsay k'nuyinach." You and the assets are given to you besides this piece of land. Then the slave would have gone free. Now, but since he didn't say that, he just said everything's given to you besides this piece of land, so you see he doesn't want to give everything to him, and that is what the principle of Remei is based on, so that's not a krisis. That's not totally a severance, because it could be that he means to include not giving the slave to himself also, where, although he didn't say that, but that's the principle of Remei of Nachas L'Shira. But where there is no shear, where he didn't leave over anything, like in the case that we're discussing, so then of course that would be a krisis, a total severance, and meaning the second halacha that we're quoting from Rav Nachman, and therefore once he's freed one moment, so as long as the person didn't get healthy right away, even if he ultimately gets healthy, he can't retract, because the designation of being considered a free man for those few moments already makes him into a shicher, because Rav Nachman does agree that we say pagin dibure. That's not the reason why the halacha of Remeir. Halacha of Remeir wasn't based on pagin dibure. It was based on a totally different principle of it's not a krisis, which is a seemingly a chiddush, and that's what Shimon disputes, because what do you mean? Whatever he left will be left over. He did and he didn't. Remeir says, no. If you nachas l'shiyura, if he wants to leave stuff out, and he didn't specifically say that he wants to free the slave, even though seemingly it should be included in kol nachseh, we say it's not included. Now, however, it's not difficult. The statement of Rava, where when the slave brings his own get, where that is a krisis of the get, because he's it says over there that all nechasim, including the slave himself, not leaving anything out, is being given over to the slave. Now, you're right, the nechasim he's not going to be able to acquire because he need to have ki mishtaris, but the slave himself, as Rava said, he will acquire because based on the principle of pagina and dibure. And that is because, again, as although that Rav Adi Bar Hava had seemingly asked from Rav Nachman that we don't pass him like Rav Shimon, rather like Rav Meir, it's not because Rav Meir is disputing Rav Shimon al Pagin Dibure. Rav Meir is coming from a different svara. Rav Meir holds that just if a person is nachas l'shiyura, even if he says what he's leaving over, if he doesn't specifically then counterpoint that with by saying that I want you, Atzmacha, to be included in being freed, we say that no, it could be he was just flattering the slave and really he's leaving over the slave too. But really, Rav Nachman would agree that even Rav Meir, and who the halacha is like, could hold of the halacha of pagin diburi, which even Rav Nachman himself says a halacha of pagin diburi, and therefore that works very well with the opinion of Rava, that we do say pagin diburi, and therefore the slave that comes from Medina Ziyam to Eretz Yisrael with a get written for himself, including all the assets of his master, he's only believed regarding himself, but pagin diburi, he's not believed regarding the rest of the assets. Now the Gemara continues quoting our Mishnah, where our Mishnah concluded in the beginning of the parak that said that in Eretz Yisrael you don't have to say b'faninachta, b'faninachta. Now, however, the Mishnah said, so, but im yeshalav oirin, but if then there are those who contest to invalidate the get, yiskayim b'chesama, then you'll validate it with the signatures, either the witnesses themselves come and testify that these are our signatures, or you have other witnesses that recognize who those people are and say they're valid witnesses. And then there's no invalidating factor in this document because A, that we already validated the document, and also, based on the principle of Rabbah, the people in Eretz Yisrael are Beki and Lashma, so we have no more concerns anymore regarding the validity of this get. Now the Gemara wonders, Irukama, how many people are considered contesting that then you have to be Mekayim B'chesamav to validate the get? So on that the Gemara says, Ile me Irukhal, if you would say it was one person who's contesting and saying, what do you mean? This is. I don't think this is a kosher get. But Omer Birchin says, everyone agrees for a document to be contested, it needs to have two witnesses, two people. So Ve'ela Ira Trey. So then it would sound like that it's two people contesting its validity. And that the Gemara asks, well then Trey or Trey Ninu. Well then when you have two people to then be Mekayim the Shtar, it's two against two. So my Chaz de Samchanahani, where do you see fit to rely on the second two witnesses who say that it is valid? Stamach Ahani, maybe rely on the first two who say that it's not a valid document. So rather, the Gemara says, El Ir Debal. When we're saying that if there's an Iru, if there's someone that's contesting the get, which again, usually we preclude that from Medina Siyam by saying Befani Nach, Befani Nach. But in Eretz, you don't have to because we're not concerned because the Bekin Lashma and there are Eid Mitzvah in the Kaima. Meaning, if it is contested, then you'll have witnesses. So what is the case that is being contested? Is that the husband comes and contests and he says, what are you talking about? This get is not valid. And for if the husband contested, although we generally need two, the husband, he's the Baldover, he's the one that officially wrote it, he is believed to create an error. On that, when you have two witnesses, however, then he's not believed, and we believe the two witnesses over the husband. Now we continue with the second Mishnah in this parak that continues on the theme of the opening halacha in the first Mishnah that says, Amibi get me Medina Sayyam. Someone brings a get, a shliach, lahilacha from overseas. Now, we said in the Mishnah that you have to say Befani Nachta, Befani Nachta. But, says our Mishnah, but let's say this messenger cannot say, in front of me, it was written in front of me, it was signed, which the Gemara is going to explain what is that case. So then, if there are witnesses that are signed in the document, then, as we'll see that it's not always the case, according to Rabbi Elazar, then you could validate the document with the signatures, which again, that's the primary concern, as we said, according to Rava, which even Rabbi agrees to Rava's concern regarding the signatures that are signed in the document, that we need to be able to validate that in those cases. So if he can't say Befani Nechtav, so then you could validate it with its signatures. Now the Mishnah continues that Echad Gitei Nashim ve'Echad Shechur Avadim, this halacha that we're mentioning, that if someone brings a get from Medina Siyam, he has to say Befani Nechtav, applies both by a divorce document for a woman and regarding a divorce and emancipation of a slave from its master, where Shavu L'Meiluch U'Lemevi, that they're equal regarding this halacha of when you're taking from Eretz Yisrael to Medina Siyam or bringing from Medina Siyam to Eretz Yisrael, that the messenger, the agent, has to say Befani Nechtav, Befani Nechtav. And says the Mishnah, Bezu Achas Min Adrachim, this is one of the ways that it's similar, Sheshavu Gitei Nashim, the Shechur Avadim, that it's equal, the halacha of Gitei Nashim and Shechur Avadim. Now the Gemara asks, as we alluded to in the Mishnah, Mai Einu Yochaleima, what does it mean that the agent that brought the get, he couldn't say Befani Nechtav? So the Gemara entertains and says, Ilei Mecherish, if he's saying it's talking about a deaf mute, and that is, he can't say because he can't talk, ask the Gemara, Cherish Ba'asui Gituhu, is a deaf mute someone that's able to be the shliach in the first place? In other words, you have to have a valid agent working as an extension of the husband who has to fulfill v'nafim b'yada. So you're saying that he can't say. So okay, we'll have that fulfilled, the halacha of v'nei nechtav, with ki mishtaris. But is he even valid to be agent in the first place? But for tonight, we'll learn the Mishnah Chav Gimel Medaf that says, Hakol kesherin lehevi es haget, everyone is kosher to be a shliach to bring a get, chutz, except Micheresh, a deaf mute, Shaita, someone that's mentally deranged, and Bekatan, and a minor, and the reason being is because these three individuals don't have das, and therefore they're not considered valid shluchim to be agents to divorce a woman. So who's the case of that he can't say? So that Rabbi Yisvi says, no, Hachamai Eskin, what we're talking about in the Mishnah is, Kegain Shenosnu La Kishu Pekeach. The agent was a person that was sane, had all his faculties complete, and when he gave the get to her, he was still a pekeach. So therefore he's a valid shliach. But which is not so common, but with the moment after he gave it to her, at that point he became a cheresh, a deaf mute, and he couldn't say b'fanei nechtav, b'fanei nechtav. So therefore the shlichus was valid, but he can't say b'fanei nechtav. So that's what the Mishnah says, so then you'll be mekayimet b'chaysamav. Then the Mishnah continued in a different halacha, that Echad Gitei Nashim, Echad Shechur Avadim, we said that both regarding the divorce of a woman and emancipation of a slave, they're equal in this halacha of Melech HaMevi having to say b'fanei nechtav. So Tanya Rabbanan, we learned in the Braisa that says that actually b'shleish shudrachim shavu Gitei Nashim l'Shechur Avadim. It's in three ways that the halacha of Gitei Nashim is the same as Shechur Avadim, which actually those are the sequence of the coming Mishnayis, which our Mishnah says the first one, and the next two Mishnayis say the remaining three. And actually, as we'll see, the Mishnah after that says the fourth one according to the opinion of Remeir. Which, what are these three ways? So as our Mishnah said, Shavu L'Meiluch U'Lemevi, they're equal in having to say Befanei Nechtav, bringing from Eretz Yisrael to Medina Siyam, or Medina Siyam to Eretz Yisrael. And the second area is, which is the next Mishnah, V'chol Get, which means to say in every document, Sheyesh Olav Eid Kuti Pasul, if there's any document that has a Kuti, the Kutim were certain individuals that were brought from out of Eretz Yisrael in the time when Eretz Yisrael was being conquered, and they have this questionable status regarding if what level, if they're like Jews or not. But regarding any document, if a kuti is signed, that's invalid. Chutz migitei nashim shechuri avadim. Except if it relates to gitei nashim and shechuri avadim, which later on in the parak, the Gemara will explain the reason for that. So that's a second area where gitei nashim and shechuri avadim are the same. And the third area is v'chalash taras, all documents, as we continue on to Mabez, ha'oilim ba'arkoi sholev dikachavim, that are processed in the non-Jewish courts, where the documents are made through the courts of the non-Jews, afa pishechaismeyan, even though those who are signed inside the document are evdikachavim, are non-Jews, kisherin, they're valid documents. And the reason being is what's known as dina de machus dina, the laws of the foreign government is considered law, even though the one who's giving it the document, the one who's receiving it, are Jews. Chutz migitei nashim, except for the divorce documents of women. And the reason being is because the non-Jews are not what's called b'nei krisis. They're not able to be qualified for the requirements of what's necessary, like the kasa of law, that you have to write this document to confirm and to validate this document. They're not b'nei krisis. They're not those, because they're not included in halachas of gittin and kedushin. But regarding the monetary law, which we mentioned does work, they are mitzvah. One of the sheva mitzvah b'nei noyach are dinim. So regarding that, they are considered b'nei dinim. But however, regarding gitei nashim, b'shechuri avadim, where because any biblical invalidation replying to gitei nashim applies to shechuri avadim, as we mentioned before, because of a gezeirah shava of la, so that's a third place where gitei nashim and shechuri avadim are the same, where although generally documents processed in non-Jewish courts will work, but regarding gitei nashim and shechuri avadim, since they're not b'nei krisis, will not work. Now, kedivrei Meir Rabba, according to the opinion of Reb Meir, which is the Mishnah after that, which is on Yud Aleph Mabez, there's actually a fourth area where gitei nashim and shechuri avadim are the same. Whereas the Mishnah tells us, ha'imer ten get zeh le'ishti, if someone tells to an agent, give this get to my wife, or v'shtar shechur zeh la'avdi, or give this emancipation document to my slave, so the halacha is, if ratza, if the master, the husband, wants to lachzer b'shneim, to retract by both of them, in other words, before the shliach gives it to them, he tells him, come back. So yachzer, he has to come back, the master could retract. That's the Reb Meir. That's the opinion of Reb Meir. And the reason being is because Reb Meir holds that it's a loss and a liability for the ones, meaning the woman and the slave, that it's being sent to. Now, the halacha tells us that what's known as ein chavin la'adam el b'fanav, you cannot create a liability for someone except if they're there and they're receptive to that. In other words, a person cannot make an agent for someone else to create a loss for that other person. Unless if that other person went and made that person as a shliach to receive it, then it's like with the person's acquiescing. Now, that stands in contrast to the opinion of the Rabbanu, who they argue in Reb Meir in that Mishnah, and they say that no, actually by shichur, the master cannot retract once he gives it over to the hands of the shliach, and that's in spite of the fact that the Eved did not make that shliach as his own shliach. The reason being is the Rabbanu hold that's actually a schus. It's actually a merit for the slave that when he leaves his master and he goes out and becomes free, and therefore there the halacha would apply of what's known as zochin la'yu la'adam shleib b'fanam. You could merit to a person even if he's not there, even if he didn't say that he wants it, because that's what's known as hanan zahadi. We say testimony, the world, that for sure the person would be willing and wanting that the shliach should do it for him. So therefore, you, according to Rabbanu, actually by shechur avadim, you would not be able to retract, only by gitei nashim. Now, so therefore, that's the fourth one, according to Reb Meir, where gitei nashim and shechuri avadim are the same, that he could retract. Now, that the Gemara asks, so bishlam l'rabbanan, it's understood according to the opinion of the Rabbanan, that say that they're only equal in three ways, that minyana, the metric that's used here in the Braisa, it says bishloishu, that in three ways, the halacha of gitei nashim and shechuri avadim are the same, is l'me'ute hadre meir. The reason why we used the number was we wanted to tell you specifically three, not four, to exclude the halacha of Reb Meir, because they disagree with him and they hold that, no, their gitei nashim are not the same as shechuri avadim, because with shechuri avadim you cannot retract, and gitei nashim you could. But ask the Gemara, el Reb Meir minyanu l'me'ute mai, but according to Reb Meir that uses a number, in other words, that there's four ways that they're equal, well, what's he coming to exclude? What we would have thought is a fifth way to say that, no, it's only in these four ways that they're the same. So the Gemara says, l'me'ute hadetanya. It's coming to exclude that which we learned in the following price, so which would exclude the opinion of the Tanakhama. The Tanakhama says, Eidim she'en yoidim lachter. If there are witnesses that are there to verify, to say testimony, but they don't know how to sign, so mekaren lahem niyor cholik. So the Tanakhama says what you do is that you tear, in other words, you carve in on a clean sheet of paper of parchment with a knife on the paper. You carve out the names of the witnesses, and then the witnesses come umamala mesakrom doy, and then they fill in those engravings with ink, so it's going to be like they signed their name. Now, Amr Shemim Lil, he argues, he says, no, when did we say this? That's only begite nashim. That's only by divorce documents of women, where that's what's known as takanas agunais. That is, we want to make sure that the woman doesn't remain forlorn, because if, let's say, this one who wants to divorce his wife wants to head overseas, or he's in danger of dying any moment, and he doesn't want that his wife should have to fall for yibum, so that's where we were lenient and allowed this, you know, this around the back way by having us carve it out and then him just filling in the ink. Aval, but, says Rabbi Shimon Gamliel, shechri avadim, let's say emancipating a slave, or b'shar kolishtars, or any other documents, then only im yoydim likris v'lachtim chesmen, only if the witnesses know how to read and they know how to sign, then they sign. V'mla v'in chesmen, but if not, they don't sign. We don't do this trick for them to carve it out and they fill in the ink. That's only a leniency we did to gitei nashim. Now again, so therefore what we see is that according to Tanna Kamma, this is an area gitei nashim shechri avadim would be the same. That's what Rebbe Meir is coming to say, no, like Rebbe Shimon Gamliel, that it's excluding that case, that actually shechri avadim is not like the same as gitei nashim, and that only by gitei nashim we fill in the ink, and not by shechri avadim. But parenthetically, the Gemara asks on this braisa, kar yeman dechar shmei. The Tanna Kamma just said something about using this technique of the signing. Where did Rebbe Shimon Gamliel now add on words by saying that, no, this leniency only works by gitei nashim, but other documents, only if they know how to read and to sign, then they could sign. Who mentioned anything about reading? We were only talking about signing. So the Gemara says, Chesur mechstur v'achakitani, no, there are words missing from the statement of the Tanna Kamma that Rebbe Shimon Gamliel is contesting, and this is what it was saying. Eidim she'en yoydin likrais, there were two halachas Tanna Kamma said. He said that witnesses that not only don't they know how to sign, but they don't even know how to read, so then karin lefneim, so then we read for them, even though they can't read it with their eyes, we read it for them, and v'chaismin, and then they sign. And moreover, the second halacha of Tanna Kamma said, was b'she'en yoydim lachtim, and if they don't know how to sign, so then karin lehem, then they do this thing about tearing into the paper, and then filling in with ink. Again, but that's why Rebbe Meir says that it's only four ways to exclude the fifth possible way, which was like Tanna Kamma, who says, shechri avadim and gitei nashim are the same in that area. Now, however, the Gemara continues asking and says, but the sulaka, are there no other ways that gitei nashim are the same as shechri avadim, where according to the Rabbanan, it's three ways, according to Rebbe Meir, it's only four ways? But vayikra, there's another one, which is a further mission on Daf Yud Gimel Amud Aleph, that says, ha'imet tnu get zel ishti. The Mishnah there says, if a husband says, here, go ahead and give this get to my wife, or v'shtar shirazel avi, or give this, this emancipation document to my slave, umeis, and then he dies, the halacha is, lo yitnu lachar misa. You don't give that get after he dies. Now, moreover, actually, Rashi points out, this would even be true according to the Rabbanan, that they say that shechri avadim is a schus, and therefore we said zachan la'ad b'shalei b'fanav. So now, although for that matter we said that the shliach was already zeichen, that already merited for the slave, that's only regards, explains Rashi, that the husband, the master, can't retract anymore. But the Rabbanan do agree that as long as the get doesn't reach the hand of the eved, he wasn't yet emancipated. And therefore, since the master died before it reached his hand, the shechur is not going to be any more an emancipation because it already is, has been removed from the father's domain and already entered the domain of the inheritors, and therefore the shliach of the father can't go ahead and emancipate the slave anymore because it's not the father's anymore, it's the inheritors. So that's the halacha in that mission that says that you don't give the get, whether of nashim or of shechur, after he had died, even though he had already sent them before he died. Now, however, if tenu mana l'pleinu meis, let's say this person said, give this coin to that person and he dies, the halacha actually is then yitnu lacha misa. For that, you do give it after he dies. And that's because of what's known as divi shchiv mera. When a dying person says something, it's kiksuvin ukumusurin dami. It's like it was written and as if it was already given over. Now that's a rabbinic enactment, because maybe this person who's ill and he's on his deathbed, he might become perturbed if he's not confident that knowing what he's saying is going to be fulfilled and might cause his death. So the Rabbanan instituted that whatever he says is like it was already done. So if he said to give this coin to that person, it's done even if he dies before it was given. And therefore you'll give it even after he dies. But one thing the Gemara is asking is that you see from that Mishnah that Gitei Nashim and Shechri Avadim are the same and that you don't give it after he dies. So why isn't that counted as another as another area where they're the same. So the Gemara answers that Ki Katani, when did we learn in this three or four things that they're the same, is only Milsa Delesei Bishtaris. It's only Halacha, that they're the only ones that are the same, that it doesn't apply to other documents. Milsa de Isa Bishtaris, like Katani. But if the same Halacha that you're saying, Gitei Nashim Shechru Avadim, would be the same, applies to all documents, that we don't count. And this halacha that we're mentioning from the Mishnah Daf Yud Gimel actually would apply to other documents too, not just regarding Kiti Nosh Meshechur Avadim, where, for example, if let's say a person gives over what's called a Shtar Matana, a document of a gift, to his Shliach, to give it to someone else and then he dies, actually the halacha, they would be the same, that you wouldn't give it after he dies. Now the reason for that is because the acquisition of the land that he's giving to that person wouldn't be only when, it would only happen when the person receives that document in his own hands. And at that point, it's already out of the giver's domain, it's already entered the domain of his Yarshin. As the Gemara proves this, the Shalach Ravin Mishmed Reb Avo. Ravin had sent in the name of Avo, he said, have a Yodin you should know, Shalach Reb Elaz Lagel, Reb Elaz had sent to the diaspora, Mishum Rabbeinu in the name of Rav, as follows, Shchiv Maraz Sha'amar, regarding a dying person that says, Kisvu Utnu Manu Lepleinu Meis, if he says, write a document and then give that mana to that person and then he dies, the halacha actually is ein kais v'manaisin, you do not write and give it post his death. The reason being is shem aloi gam alak naisa, because maybe he did not intend to acquire to that person based on his command, which is what the takana drabanan was by shchiv mara ela b'shtar, because maybe his intention was that it should only work through the medium of a document, meaning when the document gets to that person, then he'll acquire it with a shtar. And the reason why we would assume that is because he said specifically kisvu. Now the problem with that is, v'ein shtar, a document of acquisition, doesn't work la'achar misa, after the person has died, because as we said before, it has already left the domain of the one who's giving it. So therefore, answers the Gemara, this halacha would not be mentioned as another area. We get the Nash Meshach Rebbeim of the same, because actually the same halacha applies to all other documents. If you're writing a document which is gifting something to someone else, it would also not work la'achar misa. So that's why it's not counted. And the Gemara continues asking, but veika lishma, there's the halacha that applies to both Gitei Nosh and Meshech Hurav Adam, that this document has to be written specifically for this woman and this slave. And that should also be counted as another way, which doesn't apply to other stars. Now the Gemara answers and says, now, Bishlem l'Rabba, it's not difficult according to Rabba, who he said that the whole takana of Meilech HaMevi, of saying B'fani Nach, B'fani Nachtam, was only based on the principle of because they're not proficient in the halacha of the Shema, so Hainim Moilecha maybe. That's one of the three that was already mentioned, which is the halacha that applies to both Kitei Nosh Meshechur Avadim, that you have to say B'fani Nacht, B'fani Nachtam. So therefore, that's not a difficulty why it wasn't mentioned as a separate category. But El Rav Akash, according to Rav, it is difficult, because his explanation of halacha Moilecha maybe is for a different reason, of Ein Eidim Tzur in the Kaimai. So therefore, that halacha wouldn't reference that another area that they're equal, which is that they both have to be written L'Shema. The sum, moreover, what's difficult is that bein l'rabba, bein l'rava, according to either opinion, it's difficult because the ikka mechuber, there's another halacha, which is invalid by both of them, which is if, let's say, the get was written on something that was attached to the ground, where because the pasuk says in Devarim Chavdal, v'kasav, and it says v'nasan. He has to write the document and give it to her, which the Gemara Darshan's elsewhere tells us that the only thing that you have to be lacking is the writing and the giving, which excludes if you have to first, if you're writing and then being kites and then tearing off and then giving, where that's invalid by a get noshim, and same thing by get shikr, because we learn that la from Isha. So there are other cases that should be mentioned. So why do we say only three or four? So that the Gemara answers, kiketani psul drabanan. What are, when we said there's three areas, the Gitei Nosh Meshech Hurav Adam are the same, that was only, we were only talking about rabbinic areas of halacha. They're right, so Lekatani, regarding biblical law, we weren't talking about, no. So therefore, as Rashi explains, regarding the halacha of Meilech HaMevi, of saying B'fani Nachtav, that's the rabbis that required B'fani Nachtav. According to biblical law, you don't have to say B'fani Nachtav. Now, moreover, the halacha of Eid Kuti, being invalid by other documents, that's a rabbinic law. And that's because the rabbis assumed that they're considered invalid. Whereas by Gitei Nosh Meshech Hurav Adam, they said it's okay. That's a rabbinic law. And the third area, where actually the Gemara is going to ask right now regarding the courts, That's actually difficult on the answer the Gemara just gave, because actually the halacha of going in non-Jewish court is actually a biblical invalidation regarding Gittin Nosh Meshech Ravadim, because non-Jews are not kosher witnesses. The reason being is because, as we explained before, they're not betoiras, they're not in the halachic framework of Gittin and Kedushin, and the Torah tells us v'kasav and v'nasan, which tells us that only someone that's included in v'nasan that can give a get is included in v'kasav, that can write the get. So therefore, here where the get is being written in the non-Jewish courts, therefore, that should actually be a biblical flaw and not rabbinic, which that's going to be the Gemara's question right now, which the Gemara asks. But regarding processing the document in non-Jewish courts, which is a biblical invalidation, yet you do say it. So you see that the three cases that they're similar is not just rabbinic, and therefore you're back to the question. Why didn't they say lishma? Why didn't they say mechuber, which are biblical, but we're counting biblical psulim? So the Gemara answers that no. We're only talking about rabbinic, but what's with the courts? We're talking about a specific case of be'edei mesira. The Bryce was talking about that was validating other documents, but it's invalid by the get shichur and the shichur avodim, was talking about that there are witnesses who are present when it's being given over to the slave or to the woman. Ukareb Lazar, and it's going like Rebbe Lazar, the Amma Eidim Mesira character that he holds in general, that the confirmation, the validation of the document is based not on the witnesses that are signed inside the document, but rather the witnesses that are present at the time when the document is being given over to the one who's receiving it. Where, because actually the halacha is according to Rebbe Lazar that you don't even need to have witnesses signed in the document. Because when the Torah tells us by the get noshim that it says v'kasav, it doesn't mean the writing of the witness's signature, it means the writing of the text of the get. And therefore, the Braisa is actually talking about that there were Jewish scribes that wrote the get, and it just was being processed in a non-Jewish court. Now, what the Braisa is telling us is that Rebbe Lazar agrees, as was mentioned elsewhere, in what's known as mezuyev mitoichai. If let's say you don't need witnesses signed in it, but you did have witnesses, but the witnesses are invalid because here it's being processed in the non-Jewish courts and the witnesses are non-Jews, so intrinsically there's something invalid in this document, which actually now makes it worse than if you didn't have witnesses, and it is going to be puzzle, even though it really is kosher because you have Eidim Mesira. Now, that is what the Gemara is explaining. That invalidation is only rabbinic invalidation. Because mezuyev mitoicha doesn't really mean say it's possible. You don't need the witnesses. Why should that invalidate the document? It's a rabbinic decree because you might come to rely on the Eidei Chasima, the witnesses who sign, which were non-Jews, instead of Eidei Mesira, which that's going to be a biblical problem. And this that Rebbe Lazar says is kosher is only when there's no witnesses signed at all. But if you have witnesses signed who are possible, rabbinically they say that that's a problem because then you might come to rely on that. So again, so the Gemara's answer still holds up by saying that we didn't count Lishma and Mechuber because we were talking about only rabbinic invalidations. Now, on this, the Gemara asks, but V'amadiktani Seifa, but we learned that the Seifa of this halacha, which again, as we said, these halachas are all different Mishnais as we're going to see. So regarding this halacha, the Mishnah tells us on Yerim Beis, at the end of the Mishnah, Reb Shimon Oymer, he contests, and he says that, no, Af Elu, that even these of Gittin Nashim Meshechur Avodim, they are Kesherin. They're going to be kosher also when it's processed in non-Jewish courts, meaning even if the non-Jews are signed as witnesses. Now, V'amar Reb Zeir said an explanation of Reb Shimon's opinion that Yored Reb Shimon L'shitas Esher Belaza. Reb Shimon was going based on the halachic predecessor of what Reb Belaza says, the Amma Eidim Mesira Karti, that he says, you know why it's okay if the non-Jews signed on the document even though they're not B'nai Krisis? Is because the validation of the document doesn't depend on the witnesses that are signed in the document. It depends on the witnesses that are witnessing the giving over of the get, which are Jews. And moreover, the get that's being written over here in the non-Jewish courts was actually written by a Jewish scribe. So therefore, Reb Shimon says, it's okay, even for Gittin Nashim Meshechur Avodim, we don't care that non-Jew signed, it's still going to be kosher. He contests the opinion of the Tanna Kamma. Now, on that, the Gemara asks, Mechlal, the inference is, the Tanna Kamma Sobolayim. Obviously, the Tanna Kamma's opinion that we're explaining right now must hold that Eidim Mesira are not Karti, are not, that he doesn't hold like Rebbe Lazar. Rather, it must be the witnesses that signed are what's creating the get. And therefore, according to the Tanna Kamma, who that's the halacha that we're going like over here, that we said, that in our Koyishal Akum, that's where Gittin Noshma Shecheru Avadim are the same. Not like other documents, where other documents, because of Dina Machos Adina, are going to be kosher, even though non-Jew signed, but by Gittin Noshma Shecheru Avadim, again, not like Rav Shimon, are going to, the Tanakama in that later Mishnah, which is the Tanakama, which is the same opinion as Brisa too, are not going to be valid. Why is it not going to be valid? Obviously, as we see Rav Shimon who contests in that opinion, the Rav Shimon's going based on Rav Elazar's opinion, must be the Tanakama is going not like Rav Elazar. It must be because, like Eide Chasim Akarti. So therefore, that invalidation, that because what creates the document are those witnesses who are signing it, and now non-Jews are signing it, and therefore that opinion that says that it's invalid, that's a biblical invalidation, not a rabbinic invalidation. So then we're back to the question. You can't say that the case of Arkoyes was rabbinic and say it's like Rav Elazar, because as we proved, Rav Shimon who contests that is going like Rav Elazar. So therefore it must be biblical. If it's biblical, then we're back to the original question. So then why don't you say Lashma Mechuber, which are other biblical psulim that would be the same between Gittin Noshim and Shecheru Avadim. So the Gemara answers and continues at the top of Yudim and Aleph and says that no. Actually, the answer we gave before, we will maintain. That if the Tanakama is also going like the opinion of Rav Elazar, and this invalidation of processing this get with non-Jewish witnesses in non-Jewish courts is only a rabbinic invalidation, as we said before, because you might come to rely on the witnesses that are signed in it and to give it over in front of those witnesses, which that is a problem because the Eidim Asir have to be Jews and not non-Jews. Now, but Ikke Beinayu Shemes Mavhaken. The Machlaikis then, if the Tanakama also agreed to Rav Elazar, so Rav Shimon, who, as we explained before, from Zera, is also going based on Rav Elazar, so where do they disagree exactly if the witnesses are non-Jews, if they're going to be kosher or not? That's regarding where Rav Shimon comes to say that if the non-Jews who are signed on the document are clearly non-Jewish names, where no Jew calls his child by that name, that would not be mezuif mitoyche. That would not be intrinsically an invalidating factor in the get, because that Rav Shimon holds Rav Elazar would agree that everybody knows that they're non-Jews, and no one's going to come to rely on them to be the Eidei Mesira, whereas the Tanakama held that no, that we don't want to have non-Jews because we're still concerned, even though they're clearly non-Jewish names. So that's what they're disputing, but they're all going based on Rav Elazar's opinion, and therefore, again, the invalidating factor is only going to be rabbinic, because there's no problem about non-Jews signed biblically, because they're not the ones who make the get, it's the Eidei Mesira, and therefore, again, that holds up why we didn't say the halachas of Lishma and Mechuber, because those are biblical, and we only mention rabbinic invalidations. Now, however, the Gemara continues on this theme and asks that, is it really true that we only mentioned in the ways that Gittin Noshim are similar to Shecheru Avadim, things that are only rabbinically halachas, not biblical? But V'achazaram, now regarding the fourth halacha, where we said according to Rav Meir, there's four areas that are the same, which was regarding if the Baal wants to retract on the get that he gave to the Shliach, where Rav Meir said that he could retract, that is a psul d'oraisa, that's a biblical halacha, because once he nullifies the Shlichus, the agency that he gave to the agent, turns out that he's not his agent, and that there's not going to be any gerushin at all, even if he ends up giving it to that woman or that slave. And that's a biblical halacha, because the Torah tells us, v'nosten b'yado, he has to give it to her hand, which means either him or his agent. Here, he's not giving it, and this person that's giving it is neither his agent too, because he retracted. So that's a biblical halacha, and yet v'ketani, and that still is learned in the similarity between Gittin Noshim and Shecheru Avadim. And you said we only sang rabbinic halacha, not biblical halacha. So El Rav, the Gemara says that you're right. When we had asked originally that we should have added on more cases regarding Mechuber and Lishma, so that now the Gemara is retracting and saying, don't say that we didn't say cases of biblical halacha, of biblical invalidations. Rather say, Ki Ketani, what are the cases that we mentioned that's similar between Gittin Noshim and Shecheru Avadim is only Milsa Delesa B'Kedushin, is only regarding halachas that do not apply to Kedushin, to getting engaged. Milsa de Issa B'Kedushin like Ketani, but regarding things that would apply to Kedushin too, those are things that weren't mentioned. And therefore, Lishma and Mechuber, which apply to documents of Kedushin too, of getting engaged, because as the Pasuk says in Dvarim Chav Dalet, says, V'yatza mi beisa, the woman that's divorced, she leaves his house, v'hoish lish achar, and she gets engaged to a different man. Now on that, the Gemara darshins elsewhere, comparison between Havaya, getting engaged, to Yitzia, to getting divorced, where just like getting divorced, it has to be written for that woman, and it can't be something that's attached to the ground. Same thing applies to documents of Kedushin. Now, however, the three or four things that were mentioned by that are similar to Gittin Noshim and Shecheru Avadim, those things do not apply to Kedushin. For example, Bufani Nechtav doesn't apply to Kiddushin, because that's just a Takana Drabbanan that applies to Gittin, because we're concerned that maybe the husband's going to come and contest and invalidate the get, which wouldn't apply to Kiddushin. Moreover, the other halacha of Eid Kuti that is not kosher by other documents, but is kosher by Gittin Nashim Shurcha Avadim, actually the Eid Kuti is not kosher by Kiddushin. Because this that we said it's valid by Gittin, the Gemara tells us the Amud Beis, it's only because by witnesses on the get, both witnesses are present at the same time. So if we know that whatever is being done is valid, in contrast to other documents, which the same thing is by Kiddushin, and therefore actually it would not be kosher by Kiddushin. So that's a dissimilarity between Kiddushin and Gittin Nashim Shurcha Avadim. And regarding the third area of halacha, of regarding the non-Jewish courts, that's also halacha that doesn't apply by Kiddushin. And the reason being is because when you have Eidei Mesira that are Jewish, where it's only by Gittin Nashim Shurcha Avadim that we make this decree, that as we said, because you might come to rely on those who are signing as the Eidei Mesira. And that's why you need to have a different get. But by Kiddushin, since biblically, as we said, there is a Kiddushin when you have valid Eidei Mesira, if we would say that she's not Mukadeshes because the witnesses that are signed are non-Jewish, then you would be permitting a married woman to the world because she really biblically is married. It's only by a get that we could say, okay, we're not allowing her to other people until you go ahead and execute another get. So again, these three halachas only apply to Gittin Nashim Shurcha Avadim and not to Kiddushin, and therefore that wouldn't apply to Lishma to say that where they're similar to, because that would apply to Kiddushin. Now on this, the Gemara asks, what do you mean? The whole reason why we came up with a new concept to answer the question was because of the husband's ability, the master's ability to retract. Where we said that is biblical. So we said, okay, you're right, we included biblical, we just didn't include cases that would be similar by Kiddushin. On that, the Gemara asked, but b'chazaru gufa isa b'kiddushin, what do you mean? This halacha itself that you made up a whole new answer for, it doesn't work out for this new answer itself. Because if, let's say, the man gives a document of Kiddushin to his shliach, and if he wants to retract, he could retract there too. The reason being is because it's actually not considered a schlis for the woman, because Kiddushin, all it does, it actually doesn't merit her anything. Because with that document of getting engaged, he's not obligated to even feed her yet. She just actually becomes forbidden to the rest of the world. And therefore, he could retract. So why are we counting Chazara, that's similar between Gittin Nashim Shurcha Avadim, where that would apply to Kiddushin too? And you said that we're only counting things that are not similar by Kiddushin. So that thing where I actually answered that question and says, no, it's b'shliches bal karcha. Regarding an agent that can give this document against the consent of the one who's receiving it, that is something to be gerishin isa that only applies by gerishin of woman and slave, or b'kedushin less, and that actually does not apply by kedushin. So in other words, what the Gemara is answering is that it's actually the similarity that we're having with these gittin are not similar by the halacha of kedushin. The reason being is because this shliach that was sent to divorce the woman or the slave can do it against their will, by the force of the one who's sending it. But by kedushin, he cannot become a shliach to give her the kedushin against her will. If she doesn't want to get engaged, he can't force her to get engaged. Now, therefore, that's what the Bryce is saying, that is regarding these areas that Gittin Nashim Shurcha Avadim are the same, where this shliach, who was made a shliach to the woman or to the slave against their consent, regarding that is what Reb Meir had said, that if the Baal wants to retract, he could retract. Where we're saying that this doesn't apply to Kiddushin is that you're right, although by Kiddushin he could also retract, but it's not similar to these two cases because fundamentally it's not the same type of b'shlichus, where at least over there it could be done by Karcham, and that's where they're similar, not by Kiddushin, because by Kiddushin you cannot create a shlich in the first place of a Karcham of the woman to make her engaged. And therefore the Gemara has resolved the questions that we asked regarding why did we mention a certain number of things that are similar to Gittin Nashim Shurcha Avadim, because again, it's only regarding areas which doesn't apply to Kiddushin that we were saying what are the similarities between Gittin Nashim and Shurcha Avadim.